It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
You're listening to the Make Space Podcast, episode number 38. Today, we are diving deeper than pin-worthy rooms.
Home, home,
just wanna go,
just wanna go.
Home, home,
back home,
I've been going for way too long.
Home, home,
just wanna go,
just wanna go.
Home, home,
I'm on my way back home.
Welcome to Make Space, a home design show made to inspire you to create spaces you truly feel at home in. Kara Newhart sits down with amazingly brilliant guests for conversations that dive deeper than pin-worthy rooms to tease out the essentials of creating spaces that feed your soul and inspire your creativity. From home design strategies to decor advice to interior design tips and tricks, these conversations help you dream up a beautifully lived-in home. Kara is the designer and chief creative enthusiast behind Never Skip Brunch. Her work has been featured in print publications like People Style Watch and Denver Style Magazine. As an influencer, Kara has collaborated with brands like Amazon, H&M, Twitter, and Thrillist. Here's your host, Kara Newhart.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Make Space season number 2. Man, I've missed you guys. I've missed doing this, and I've missed hearing from you, so I'm so pumped to be back for another season. Even though it's been just a couple months, I feel like there's so much to update you on. So just 3 things before we get started. Number 1, I have partnered with the Home Depot to do a series of kids workshops. So if you are a mom, you can find me and my little DIYer making projects over on the Home Depot YouTube channel. I'll also be publishing these to the blog as well, but it's a really fun way to engage your kiddos if they're at home or you're doing virtual learning and you're going to have them home with you all the time. This could be a really fun outlet. Number 2, I am in the beginning stages of launching something super freaking cool. So some of you dedicated fans already know this because you've heard me mention it on other podcasts when I was a guest, but I am creating a full immersive course called Power School. It's going to be the everyday girl's guide to her first 8 tools. So you'll learn about each of the 8 tools that I recommend buying first, and then there will be a corresponding project to teach you how to use it. You guys are always asking me how I got started, can you help me get started, what tools should I buy? And so finally, we're going to have an amazing resource for you guys to learn this. So if you want to be the very first to know when this launches, hop over to the show notes and sign up in the little form so that you'll be in the loop when this is officially launched. I'm so excited. I'm creating it right now, and I cannot freaking wait to help you guys dive in and get hands-on and learn how to DIY amazing projects solo. So super pumped for that. And then the third thing is something super exciting happening in September. So my best friend Jessie and I are co-hosting the Furniture Flip Challenge in conjunction with Better Homes and Gardens Do-It-Yourself magazine. So this is a challenge that you can participate in. Basically, there's 2 categories. You can flip a piece of furniture or restore a piece of furniture. You do it along with us for 3 weeks, and then you enter into the category of your choice. And if you win, there's a ton of fun prizes. We're beyond pumped to be able to do this. We're both flipping 3 pieces because we have zero chill, apparently, but you can just grab 1 furniture piece of your choice, whether it's something you have or something you go find, and transform it. I will leave the link in the show notes where you can sign up officially so you get notified about the timeline and how to enter. So yeah, this is perfect, especially if you're a beginner DIYer, because you could flip a whole piece using a sander and paint, and that could be like your first project, which is something I always recommend for people just starting out, is starting with restoring or flipping a piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
hashtag obsessed. So what I'm obsessed with this week, and have been for apparently many weeks in a row now, is these rope lights that I got from Amazon. And when I say rope light, I mean actual like chunky, almost like boat rope, like from a large ship. That's the only place I can envision it going. But basically, they're light fixtures made of rope. You can knot them and tie them. They come with like a different number of ropes. At the end is a light bulb. I installed these as part of my frog tape space that I did for the frog tape paint over challenge. They were $20 each. I still cannot believe that. Every time I look at them, I'm amazed. So talk about lighting on the cheap that looks really unique and really classy. I'm very obsessed with them. I will link them in the show notes so you too can be obsessed. Wait, what? So my wait what for this week is that I am making over the entire podcast studio, which if you've been around here for any amount of time, you know that it's half of my closet because you get really good sound quality in your closet because the clothes absorb the echo. So one half of my closet is fully dedicated to the podcast. And I decided to make it over not while we were on break because that would make way too much sense, but instead right now while we're launching season two. So currently I'm sitting in the clothes half of my closet, squished in a chair on a table as I look to the other side of the room where there is a half-finished space. It's looking pretty good so far, and you can follow the full renovation slash refresh on Instagram over at Never Skip Brunch. And I'm really excited for this space because there's going to be a lot of unique things, whether it's projects that you can take on in your own space, like a DIY couch, a herringbone wall, or if you're a fellow podcaster and you want some tricky interior design tips for soundproofing. There may or may not be an upholstered ceiling in my future. So stay tuned for that. I'm really excited to share. Okay, so let's dive into today's topic, which is how to create a pin-worthy space. This is a question I get all of the time. I like a photo on Pinterest. How do I get it? How do I get my house to look like that? How do I get my room to look like my inspo photo? So this is totally a loaded question, first things first, but I really want to break it down beyond just how to look at something and duplicate it in your space, because to me, that's not really the point of Pinterest, and I think when people do that, they're left, more times than not, very unsatisfied with the space. If you listen to my episode all about how I design a room, you know that I start with function and how you want the space to serve you before we can even talk about aesthetics. So today I'm diving into all my secret tips for how to approach Pinterest inspiration, how to recreate it in your space in a way that fits your style and feels like you, as well as some insight that I think we don't talk about a lot or think about a lot when it comes to Pinterest and interior design. So hopefully this episode is super helpful in helping you rethink your space, use Pinterest as the amazing inspiration creative tool that it is, and really create those spaces that you freaking love. This is something that I talk about as my mission. It is my goal to help people see past what is pin-worthy, to really create a space that inspires them and is absolutely beautiful, but is a space that they feel reflects them and serves them and works for them. Pinterest is one of my very favorite places on the internet, and I think it's such an amazing tool for helping us build out our spaces. I want to break down some strategies that you can use to make Pinterest work for you and to be able to harness it as a tool for inspiration and something that can help you visually design things and draw that creativity to really be able to kind of create the vibe and the function that you need for your space. So Pinterest is not like other social media platforms. It's a place where we go to dream, to collect ideas, and I think it's such a beautiful thing because it allows you to hoard every idea imaginable that you could want and keep them in a place that's easily searchable, that you can easily revisit, and doesn't create clutter in your life, which is super helpful. But I think for a lot of people, Pinterest can be challenging or even discouraging because they're pinning all these pictures of their dream home and they're pinning all these things that they wish they had or things that they wish their space had, and then are left feeling disheartened or discouraged, thinking, my house that I have right now can never really look like that. In order to get that dream space, I'm going to have to move, or I'm going to have more money to buy a larger house, or maybe it's just out of reach for me. And so I want to kind of debunk that line of thinking, because more and more I'm realizing that there's a lot of women that struggle with this, that, you know, it's kind of a love-hate relationship, right? We're pinning and we're dreaming, and that's a fun exercise. But then if we're left with no way to get there, no way to really have our dream home brought to life, then it's discouraging. I firmly believe that your dream home can be the home you're in. I talk all the time about how design is never really done. You never are really there. This whole concept of a before and after is just two snapshots of a journey that's going to take you your whole life. Between your style changing, you growing as a person, different seasons of life in which you need different things from your home, your home is never really done. It's not like you decorate it and then it's finished. It never is finished. But that's the beauty, I think, of our homes, is that there's such a process. They are lived in, and that process is beautiful. It can be beautiful. It can be pin-worthy. And I think there's just some tools that maybe you need to get you there. And so I hope that with this episode, you'll find that. So I really wanted to break down the elements of a pin-worthy space. Like when we have something that we think is Pinterest-worthy, when we have that inspo image, what is it about that pulls us? Why are we so magnetically drawn to inspo images? And how can we recreate that, what we love about it, in our space, and have our space be that for us, be that inspirational place that serves us and functions well for us? So I'm hoping to kind of break down what I think a pin-worthy inspo image is, and then give you some practical tips for pulling real-life design advice from an inspiration image, so that it's not just something you're collecting and dreaming about and wishing you had, but it's something that you're able to harness and use to create a space that you truly love. So I'm so excited to dive in. Before we get started, please know that I really want this to be a conversation. I want you guys to reach out to me with questions or comments or specific situations that you need help with, because I don't really believe in prescriptive advice where someone just tells you what you should do. I think it's always a conversation of someone giving you a piece of knowledge, and then how you use that and respond to that is going to be how it affects your life. So all that to say, connect with me on social media and let me know what you're thinking about this. Let me know what your questions are. Let me know what your feedback is. I would love to talk to you. You can find me at Never Skip Brunch, or if you prefer email, you can email me at podcast@neverskipbrunch.com. Okay, let's dive in. I think the very first piece of breaking down kind of these elements of a pin-worthy space is figuring out why you're magnetically drawn to that inspo image. What about it catches your eye and makes you feel something? So I think there's a few principles. I've written down the key four that I want to go through that I think go into this. So the first one is similarity. I think in some sense, when we see an image, it looks similar to your space. It looks like something that is doable in your space. So one example of this is my powder bathroom, which is the first room I ever redecorated. And I remember going on Pinterest, because I had no idea how to start then, knowing that now Pinterest is not my starting point. But I'm on Pinterest and I'm looking for inspiration. I'm looking for what I want to do in this space. And a lot of the images I found myself pinning had the same layout as my bathroom, had the toilet on the left, had a sink on the right, a pedestal sink, and seemed to be similar dimensions. And I think that similarity piece kind of draws us in, because we're thinking, this is doable. Like, that space looks like mine, but they added shelves, or they added an accent wall, or they added whatever it is. And so that's really encouraging, right? Because when we find those similar photos, it looks doable in your space, and you can take that photo and say, oh, I can do this. I just need to add a shelf. I just need to add some art. I just need to paint the wall. So in terms of these four elements, I think that's the most lighthearted and effortless thing we can draw from an inspo image is that space looks like mine. I can do that too. So similarity, and then the next one is style. So we are drawn to inspo images because we like the style of the space. Now, when you use the word style in interior design, I think it opens a can of worms of people saying, what is my style? How do I define my style? What should my style be? Let me just tell you, I don't really believe in choosing a style. I think that styles have evolved in specific places at specific time periods, and things like coastal happen more on beachy coastal areas. Things like mid-century modern was a strong time period in the 50s and 60s. And so styles are kind of like a consensus on art and design that occurs in a specific location or at a specific time. They can teach us a lot about art. They can teach us a lot about combining things. They can teach us a lot about how things work together, and even like our history as a society, which is maybe not something that you want to get that deep into if you're not a designer. But all that to say that styles are not intended to be some kind of box that you opt into, and now you can only use these elements and you have to stick within this color family or use this certain shape of furniture. Styles are meant to be kind of snapshots of our design aesthetic culturally in different places, different times. And so I think a lot of times we can find a certain style that we resonate with, and that can feel really good. Like, if you find that style and that fits for you, then go for it. But if you're having a hard time defining your style, it's probably because you are a mix of many styles, and you need to give yourself the freedom not to be bound by a certain style. The thing I think draws us to a photo when in terms of style, a lot of times it's not that we resonate with a certain style, be it farmhouse or mid-mod or whatever. Sometimes it's just that the space has a cohesiveness to it and a clarity in terms of aesthetic. So all the elements in the space are working together. They're playing off each other. There's repetition of color, of shapes, of patterns. And that cohesiveness is really pleasing to our eye and is really good design. Good design is cohesive. And so I think that a lot of times is what attracts us to an inspo photo. It's the cohesiveness of the elements, not necessarily the specifics themselves. Although it can be true that we, you know, if you love farmhouse, you see a farmhouse photo, you love it. But I would venture to guess that even if you love farmhouse, even if it is your go-to style, you don't like every farmhouse photo. You like certain ones that have certain elements or a certain cohesiveness to them that attracts you. So the reason I'm getting so like deep and so like design-minded and really diving into style in this like theoretical way is because I want you to think about, when you look at an image, what about the aesthetic are you really drawn to? Are you actually drawn to the specific elements happening in that photo, like the legs of the couch that are mid-mod legs or the chippy paint? Or are you drawn to the cohesiveness that's going on? Because there's a difference, and when you go to recreate your space, those are two different things and two different things that you need to focus on achieving. So if you really are craving that cohesiveness, you're going to go about designing your space a little differently than if you're craving those elements, because those you can just go out and shop for, right? But that cohesiveness takes a little more practice. So I think the second piece of being drawn to an inspo photo is being drawn to the style, the aesthetic, whether that is elements or whether that is the cohesiveness that comes from being in one genre of styles, if that makes sense. So I know we got a little theoretical there, but I think with style, it's obviously so dependent on design, and it's such an art that it's hard not to go there. Like, it's not really a practical yes or no, black and white. It's more of a personality, vibe, feeling that you are trying to achieve in a space. So the third element that I think draws us to a pinworthy image is function. You are drawn to how this space is set up to facilitate or support activities that you like to do. So an example of this is a gourmet kitchen might really draw you in as an inspo image if you love cooking, because you see like how they're storing things or all the possibilities, how it would make it easier to cook, having everything organized, having things laid out really well. Same with like an at-home office. Maybe you're drawn to like the way things are decorated in terms of like, oh, I could have a little hook for headphones and I could, store all of these things this way, and it would make it easier to do the activities that I like to do. So when you're looking at this pinworthy image, maybe you don't even like the style. Maybe it's not even similar at all to your space. Like, you could not recreate this look in your space, but there's something about the function. There's something about how it's set up or some of the elements that really speak to you in terms of, if I could incorporate those in my space in a totally different style, in a totally different shaped space, it would make my space serve me better. So we are drawn to the function and the functional elements of a space. And then the fourth way we are drawn to inspo images, where they suck us in and they have that gravity where we're like, this, oh my gosh, this is so me, is goals. If you've ever heard the term office goals, kitchen goals, patio goals, usually we use these in hashtags, right? And we're saying like, that space is goals. That is my dream space. That's what I want to do. And what I've really come to realize is that the magnetism behind some inspo images have nothing to do with it being similar to our space, being a style we like, having functions we like, but it goes so much deeper than that. And what it is that you like the person that you envision you would be if you had that space. So that's why I think sometimes we find ourselves pinning these spaces that are so out of reach, that would never fit in the house we have, that sometimes would never fit in the state we live in. Like, if I was back in Denver and I was pinning these beach resorts and these like little like cottages on the edge of water that I have, like my whole backyard is a beach, that is not a place that I am pinning to say, I'm going to do this in my house, because it has so many elements that are so far out of reach. And what I've realized that in that process of dreaming, the magnetism that's attracting us is that I envision that the person I would be if I owned that house would be different, would be a better version of myself. Maybe, if I lived on a beach, I'd be a happier mom because we just go outside our backyard and build sandcastles. Or if I lived in a cabin in the mountains, we'd have more quality family time, and we'd get along as a family because we'd use less screens because the Wi-Fi would be spotty, we'd be snowed in more. Or, if I had this sunroom with these skylights and all these giant windows, I could grow all these plants and I would be such a green thumb, and plants make me so happy and I would feel more peaceful and more centered. And so this is so interesting to me, because I've found myself in this place so many times of pinning something that was an inspo image and not even realizing that the reason I loved it is because I love the person I think I would be if I lived there or if I had that space. And this, I think, is the piece of social media that we skip over when we're like, talking about how, you know, everyone shows their highlight reel, and when you're scrolling through your feed and you're feeling sad or you're feeling FOMO or you're feeling like everyone's life is better than yours, this is the piece that's really getting to you. Because we look at these spaces and we have this idea of what her life must be like because she has this gorgeous space. It must be easier because she has that big laundry room. So I bet things aren't as stressful for her because, if she can knock the laundry out, then things are easier. And we start to kind of draw conclusions about the way people are living based off the spaces we're seeing. And then we compare our situation to that and we feel insufficient, like we're falling short. And so this is such an important thought process that once you get a hold of, once you recognize it in yourself, you can nip it in the bud. And you can also, it's so empowering because now when I look at a photo and I realize I love that office because in my head, if I had that office, I would be more organized. I would have less stress. I would have clearer vision of the content I'm supposed to create. I would have more work-life balance, not be working all the time. But what I'm realizing is that I don't need that office to make me that person. That is self-work that I need to do. And yes, an office can help with that if I create a space that serves me, is what I need, reflects my personality, helps to inspire me. It's going to help make me that person, but it's not the solution. And so this is the part of spaces where it goes so much deeper than what is your style? What do you want it to look like? What items should you buy? What trends should you try out in your house? It goes so deep into what are the inspo images that I'm being drawn to saying about me and the personal growth that I still need to work on? And how can my space help me with that? And so I think that's so, so interesting. It's definitely been a process that has been really empowering for me because for a long, long time, I was living in the mindset of not yet or the next house. When we were in an apartment, I was always daydreaming of, when we own a house, I can finally poke all these holes in the wall and change things and rip things down and paint them and it'll be all mine and I'll be so happy when I own a house. And then guess what? We bought a house and do you want to know what happened? This is our starter house and it's not big enough and we don't have that much space and our yard is really small. But when we get our next house, our forever home, I'm going to be so happy because I will have space in the yard for a garden and I will have a full workshop and I'll have all these things, in the kitchen. I'll have a dining room and a breakfast nook. And it just kept going. Every time I would make an improvement to our house or anytime we moved, there was still something that wasn't good enough, even though I just got what I dreamed about. And so that was really something where I had to dig in and I had to look at myself and realize it's me that's the problem. It's not these spaces. I can be happy in these spaces, but I have to choose that for me. And so that's kind of what got me into interior design. I first started making over that house and I got happy with it. I loved being there to the point where when I found out we were moving to Houston, I bawled and cried and I did not want to leave because I was so happy finally. Obviously, I've learned how to be happy here too. And now I feel the same way about this house. I don't ever want to move. I love it here. But that's been a process and that's been a lot of work that I've had to do. And a big piece of that is kind of realizing what season of life you're in, that everything happens for a short time. If you're in an apartment, probably you're not going to be there forever. There's probably going to be a day where you can afford a house. Or if you're living in a super, super small space, there's probably going to be a day when you get a bigger space. And so learning to be happy where you're at is the key to loving your home. And so that doesn't mean you have to just get what you get and love the home you get. Obviously, you can pour your heart and soul into making the space work for you, decorating it in a way that inspires you. But At the end of the day, you have to choose to be happy there, and you have to accept the season of life that you're in. So those are the four elements that I think draw us to an inspo image and a pin-worthy space. And I think unpacking those helps us to kind of separate the work we need to do on ourselves for personal growth and the work we need to do on design strategies and planning out a space. Because you're going to be really disappointed if you just mix them together and you try to create a space that somehow magically changes you as a person. I guess a good parallel is growing up, I struggled with a lot of insecurity, being really unhappy with my body. And, you know, I think we all have as women, like we all have insecurities, whether it's our nose or a freckle or our hair color or our eye color or how we're shaped, whatever it is. I think we've all had that. But and maybe you've had this experience too. But when I would go shopping, I would like try on a shirt. And I think I just wanted more out of the shirt than it could give me. Like I expected somehow that this shirt was going to be the one to like make me look so good and fit me so good that would just like, I would finally love myself because of this shirt. And I don't think I did this consciously, right? But it's just like trying on things and being so unhappy with the way they all look and being like mad at the clothes and like, oh, I hate these don't work. When really what I was frustrated with was my own insecurity and like my body. And it was not about the clothes at all. And so I think that can happen in our spaces as well, where we're looking at dream spaces and we're frustrated with what we can achieve in our spaces, and it's not about the spaces at all. So all that to say, I see a lot of people using inspo photos the wrong way. They're not meant to be prescriptive. You're not supposed to look at them and say, I want to recreate this space in my space, because that's not how it works. Your space is not the same shape. It does not get the same light. You cannot source the exact same items. You need to use that as something to draw from and pull inspiration from, but you are going to be very unhappy with your space if you try to duplicate it and then get a space that's not the same and doesn't match up with your dream. So let's dive into how do we do this? How do we use inspiration photos to actually pull real life design advice from? So I have some practical tips, and I hope that these will be really helpful when it comes to putting all like the theoretical idea side of what we just talked about into practice and actually using it in your space. So my number one best tip is to mood board. So mood board and look for trends. When you mood board on Pinterest, you make a board for a space. Maybe you're making it over, maybe you're moving in and you don't know what to do with the space yet. Maybe it's a space that is already decorated, but maybe it was used as a playroom and now it's going to be an office. Or maybe you have a space that you just want to update. So you don't want to totally overhaul, but you want to update it and kind of give it a more cohesive style. So you create this board and it's your mood board. You're pinning all your inspiration to this. Every image that you see that has an element of what you want in the space, whether it's the layout because it's similar to yours, whether it has aesthetic elements or stylized elements or a cohesiveness that you want to create in this space. Maybe it just has a functional piece that you want in your space. So you're pinning all these things to one board. And what you're going to do after you've kind of got like a lot of these images is to scroll through and look for trends. What is the common thread across all these images? It could be a color. It could be a texture. It could be a pattern. It could be a lighting style, a furniture style, a level of light in the room, lots of natural windows. And there could be a lot of things that are in common. So we're looking for multiple trends that you can find across all images. When you find these trends, essentially, that's your style. Like, that is your personal style, is the combination of all of these elements that you seem to be drawn to across all of these images. So you don't have to pick a prescriptive style and say, okay, farmhouse, I need to use chippy paint and old, like vintage furniture and lots of white and shiplap. You can literally build your style from the ground up by looking at a mood board and finding all these elements that you're drawn to again and again and again. That is your personal style. Mood boards are so important because they help you visualize. When it comes to design, especially DIY design, if you don't have a training or a background as an interior designer, it can be hard to know what elements work together, what colors work together, because you don't have like a design framework to draw from. So while there can be rules that you can pick up on and design principles that you can learn about, the easiest way to DIY design is to circumvent all of that, not even dive into the rules of design, and just learn for yourself what you like. Because at the end of the day, you don't have to design for clients, right? You don't need to know the entire framework to know all these different styles and be able to design for somebody else, regardless of what their style is. You just have to design for you. So you don't really need all the rules and all the framework. You just need to know what you like and what different elements work together and are aesthetically pleasing for you. So mood boarding is a really good way to get visual and really get things where you can see how they work together before you start buying things, before you start trying them in your space. So mood boarding on Pinterest is collecting images to a board, but another really good way to mood board is to use a free software like PicMonkey or Canva and just start with a blank template and then import like screenshots of products that you like or you're drawn to or you're thinking about buying and see how they all work together. Whether it's furniture, throw pillows, paint colors, lighting elements, you can screenshot them, pull them in and put them all together. And that really helps you clearly envision the space. You don't have to imagine it in your head. It's right in front of you. You can see how they work together. And it helps you get clarity on that cohesiveness, that like seeing like things being repeated or things working together in a space that's really pleasing and looks really polished in terms of a really good design. It helps you achieve that without even knowing any of these principles because you can see it. Right in front of you. So mood boarding is number one practical tip. Number two is I want you to pick a few key images where you like most of the image. I would say 3 to 5. You can go more than 5, but we're going to try to dive deep on 5 images. So I would just start with about 5. So we are picking images where we like almost everything about them. Maybe we love the style, we love the function, and maybe it's just not similar to our space, so it's not the same layout, but that's okay. Maybe we love the similarity to our space and the function of everything, but the style isn't quite our style. But we're picking images where we love almost everything about them, where you look at it and you're like, that is so me. So from your mood board, pull these 5 images, and we're going to look at each image and kind of break it down. We want to analyze this and figure out why we like it. Because once we know why we like something, we can recreate that in the space, right? We can find that vibe, that aesthetic, those elements, and we can recreate that for our own room. We can't duplicate. We can't find the exact everything because maybe it doesn't exist. Maybe it's not in our budget. Maybe we can't find the link. So pulling out why is how you're going to get that vibe and get what you love about it into your own space without feeling disappointed that it's not exact, because we're really diving deeper here. So the first question I want you to ask about the image is, how does this space make me feel? Maybe 3 adjectives that come to mind. Do you feel calm? Do you feel energized? Do you feel relaxed? Do you feel centered? Do you feel excited? Do you feel inspired? When you look at the space, how does it make you feel? The second question I want you to ask is, where does my eye go first in the space? When you look at the photo, where are you drawn to? What's the first thing that catches your eye? Maybe it's the bed frame. Maybe it's a lamp. Maybe it's a crazy floral pattern on the ceiling. But what is the first element that your eye sees in the space? This is important because one of the principles of design is focal points, right? That when you walk into a room, your eye is drawn somewhere first. Your eye finds a place to land or something interesting to look at. And so the focal point that you are looking at in this space is tells you something about your style, right? Where you're first drawn to tells you something about what you love or what maybe you should focus on for your own space. The third question I want you to ask is, what is my favorite element in the space? Maybe this is a rug that's colorful and kind of has this palette that you really love. Maybe it is a light wood tone that you see repeated on the furniture or the floor. Maybe it's a paint color that's on the wall that you feel really good about. But what is your favorite element in the space? We're talking colors, textures, that kind of stuff. Okay, the next question is kind of zooming out a little bit and saying, what combinations of elements am I drawn to? For example, do you really like white and wood paired together? Do you like black and gold and a moody, like sophisticated vibe? Do you like plants and velvet? Do you like patterns? But what combinations of elements, two or three elements, are you really drawn to? And can you find that across your mood board as something that repeats itself? Was it maybe a trend that you're seeing across those images? The next question is, what do I envision that I could do in this space that I can't do in my current space? So this kind of touches on that, like you liking the person you envision you would be if you had that space, but I want to make it more practical. What types of tasks or activities do you think that you could do in this inspo photo space that are not possible in your current space? Because I think that figuring out what those are means that now you can get creative and come up with a solution and a way for you to do that in your current space, whether it is a table that folds away or a dual purpose room that has multiple functionality where you can use it for a lot of different things and taking one space and making it multi-use. So what are those practical activities or elements that you think you could do in the dream space that you're not currently able to do in your space? Because that's going to help us bridge the gap and make your current space work for you so that you can love it. And then the final question I want you to ask about each image is, what do I dislike about this space? What design elements are not something that I want in my house that don't feel like me? What things look like annoying? Like, is there a shag rug and you're just like, I would never clean that, so that is not gonna work? What about this space doesn't work for your lifestyle or does not resonate with you aesthetically or doesn't fit your style? Because knowing that is just as important, because then we're not duplicating this image. Remember, we're taking the pieces that resonate with us, that work for us, that fit what we want to accomplish in our house, and we're putting that in our space and we're leaving the rest. We're leaving all of the things that we don't like or we don't think will help us be in love with our house and really have spaces that serve us. So after going through these questions with each of the five images, there should be patterns emerging. Like, there should be elements you kind of find yourself focusing on. And so if there is, if everything's kind of on the same page and all these spaces kind of make you feel the same way and you're drawn to similar things and all of that, your job's kind of easy and you can now take those elements. Congratulations, that's what goes in the room. That's what you buy. That's what you focus on. That's what you shop for, is those different elements and creating that vibe, pulling together a mood board for the room of the actual elements that you're putting in the room that achieves that feeling, that has that statement piece, that has those elements and those combinations of elements that you love, that has that functionality. If things aren't really syncing up, like if all five images are a little bit different, pull like what you feel strongest about. So there's probably going to be elements that clearly emerge as a favorite. So like combinations of wood and gold or paint colors or lots of plants or whatever elements that you're really the most drawn to, go with those or mix them all together. This is your own personal style. So if through those five spaces, you're wishing and dreaming that your room was a combination of all of them, then do it. Combine them in a way that is your personal style and works for you. But I think this is just a really good exercise and a really good way to pull that real life design advice to really define your own style from these inspo images. Because at the end of the day, these are beautiful images that have been put together by designers or by people with really great taste, and you love them and you think they're beautiful and you think that there's something about them that is going to work in your house or serve you in your spaces. So pull that out of the image and get creative in how can I recreate that in my own space? How can I add in these elements? How can I achieve the same vibe? How can I incorporate this color? And so don't take the whole image and try to just make your space look like that. Really think about what about it you love, what about it works for you. Take that out and then use that as your design springboard, because now you have a place to start. And now I promise you the creativity and the inspiration will start flowing once you have that inspo piece and once you know why you love it and what about it speaks to you. So I hope that it made you think about design and about your house in a whole new light, in the sense that it's not about a prescriptive style. It's not about defining your style or taking an inspo photo and putting the same things in your house. It's about using it as a springboard for your creativity so that you can really dig deep into that pin-worthy image. You can really find out what speaks to you, and then that is your springboard. That's how you find your creativity, because it's really hard to be creative in a void. Like, it's really hard to walk into a blank room and be like, okay, what should I add in this space to make it feel the way I want to feel? But these inspo images give us context. They give us like a starting place. And so that's why I love Pinterest as a tool, because I think it's such a powerful piece of the creative journey, especially for the DIY designer. So I hope that this really kind of taught you how to harness that for your own spaces, how to really use Pinterest in this kind of like empowering way to really find what works for you. Let me know. Shoot me a DM or shoot me an email. Let me know what your favorite piece of this episode was. What was that aha moment? What resonated most with you? And what are you excited about that kind of changed the game for you in terms of turning to Pinterest as inspo? I would love to keep chatting and keep this conversation going over on social media. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I had so much fun with this episode exploring it, because I think it's such a process that I've gone through in my own life of learning to love my home. And I really tried to dig into how I've done it and some of the methods that I used. And so I hope this helps you. Like, and I know it will. That's the other thing. Like, sitting down to record this, I know that so many of you out there are going to be empowered through this process. So I'm just excited to see that happen, and I'd love to chat more about it. So I will talk to you guys next week. Have an amazing week, and have fun mood boarding and defining your style on your own terms.
Home, home. Just wanna go. Home, home.
Back home.
I've been going for way too long.
Home, home.
Just wanna go.
Home, home.
I'm on my way back home.
need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.